I'd like to read verse 1 and 2, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I want to speak tonight on the subject of the unfinished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The unfinished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I might make a comment about that, lest I be misunderstood. John chapter 19, verse 30, Jesus said, finished. Now the scripture says, and the King James says, it is finished. But Jesus said, finished. That's the meaning there. Finished. He said several things from the cross. We need to recognize when I speak of the unfinished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all, that he is the eternal Son of God. He lived, he died, and he lives. Now, I do not mean to imply that there will be some unfinished work left. For Paul said here that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. But brethren, our faith is not yet finished. Now, what is finished is very clearly brought in the Word of God. I believe that all things had been done which the law of God required. That's one of the things which the Lord Jesus Christ meant when he said, finished. All of the things established which prophecy predicted were finished. All things brought to pass which the types foreshadowed, finished at Calvary. Finished. All things brought to pass and accomplished which the Father had given him to do. Finished. All things performed which were needed for our redemption. Finished. In other words, he paid the price to purchase his church and his elect people. Not only was there the penalty paid for our sins, but sacrifice and salvation was finished there at Calvary in the work that God had given Jesus Christ to do. Now, the founding of his church at that time was finished. The founding of it. So you say, well, what is not finished? I believe that when Paul was saying that looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now we are confident and know that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. There are some things that are not finished, even though those things are certain and they're sure because of Calvary.
Amen.
They're not finished, but it's certain. It's just as good as done. First of all, I'd like for us to think about, he is not finished with the salvation of his people. Now, there are several ways that you can look at this. First of all, when the writer of Matthew said there in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." I believe all of those that were chosen in Christ Jesus and given him by the Father before the foundation of the world, that he will complete and finish their salvation.
Amen.
And I mean by that every aspect of it.
Amen,
we heard Paul when he wrote to the church at Ephesus, and he said, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world," and to show how that thought carries on and shows the completion, the finishing work of the Lord Jesus Christ, said that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And brethren, we're not before him now. But one day, thank God, we are going to be before him. We have the faith that God has given us as a gift of God, and it belongs to us now. And that is the author of our faith. But that faith yet is not finished. But one day, praise God, it will be. So he is the author and the finisher of our faith. And even though there at Calvary, when he said finished, there are some things concerning you and concerning me that are not yet finished. Now, the price that was paid at Calvary, the penalty of our sins, that was paid. Finished. When Jesus said in the 17th chapter of the book of John, he said there in verse 2, in verse 9, he said, "As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." Verse 9 says, "I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine." Now, not all of his people were saved before Calvary. Even though a great multitude of them were before Calvary saved. You said, you mean people were saved before Calvary? Certainly. And the same author and the finisher of the faith is the same one that provided for them before Calvary. Even 2,000 years after Calvary, not all of his people have been saved. Yet during the last 2,000 years, a great multitude have been saved.
Amen.
By the grace of God. Apostle Peter, when speaking of this, he said in 2 Peter 3:9, he's speaking here concerning these people. He said, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. But God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance."
Amen.
Brethren, I believe that all is inclusive of not all of those, not only those in the Old Testament that came to repentance,
and since Calvary that has come to repentance, but it's inclusive of all of those that ever shall be brought to repentance by the grace of God.
Amen.
And not a one of them will perish. He went on, and I believe as Paul wrote there to the Hebrews, and listen to what he said. When he said there in the second chapter, in verse 13, he said, "And again I will put my trust in Him. Again, behold, I am the children which God hath given me." And I believe that he's speaking of those that God the Father chose and in Christ Jesus. And those that He gave as a gift of the Father to the Son. And I know that one day, what He's speaking of here in Hebrews is when, as the author and finisher of our faith, all of His people have been saved by the grace of God, and all of them have come to the Lord Jesus Christ that has been given to Him. And then Jesus Christ says, "Father, here I am with the children that You gave me."
Amen.
Every one of them.
Amen.
One day all of the elect will be saved because of Calvary. Said, "How you know that?" Jesus said so.
Amen.
He said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast down."
Amen.
You ever think about the precious promises of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you ever think about going through the Word of God and just reading what Christ says to you as a believer, as a child of God? But I believe, even in this unfinished work, that is the redemption of His people or the saving of His people, we find this unfinished work is manifested. And one way that He manifests this unfinished work is by calling His preachers to preach the gospel, to preach the Word of God. This is a manifestation that this unfinished work of the Lord Jesus Christ has not yet been completed. For even as He said in Mark 16:15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." In the same chapter, Paul said, "I am a debtor to preach the gospel." How does He then protect His elect before and after salvation? All of these that are going to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, God has provided the means whereby that even they will be protected. Does not Hebrews 1:14 say, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?"
Amen.
That are not saved yet, but that God is going to save. And brethren, this work is going to be completed.
Amen.
There's not a one that is of His, the Father has given him, that is not going to hear the gospel. They're going to hear the gospel.
Amen.
I sat through this conference and many things have stirred my heart and thrilled my soul. And I thought about, you know, Philip. The Lord led Philip to the Ethiopian eunuch. Nothing wrong with that. But the Lord led Paul to the Lord. Nothing wrong with that either. You know, we get hung up on exactly how God's going to do it. We know the means that God has ordained. The means that God's ordained the gospel. Being made effectual by the Holy Spirit. And there's time, and it pleases God to use messengers to carry that gospel and to carry that message.
Amen.
So there's yet people that are not saved that are going to be. They're going to be. That's what makes us missionary. You know, sometimes people at church, I have some get real excited about the wrong things. And somebody, the Lord, will begin seemingly to work on somebody, and they'll say, "You better
Better hurry right over there.
Not rush over there. I know better than that, don't you? I'm not saying you ought not to go over there. Don't interpret it that way. But I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ has an unfinished work, and I know that even though there is an unfinished work in saving his people, I know that he's going to finish it. And I know, brethren, if there's any conviction whatsoever, you know, they really, you know, they love my preaching, but they get Armenian every now and then. In practice. And I don't mean to make fun of Armenians. I don't mean that at all. I don't want to take this wrong. God uses means. I know that. He uses means. And he uses messengers. He uses men. I'm not criticizing that. But why don't we trust the Lord? Why don't we do that which God has given us to do, that we are responsible to do, that we are privileged to do?
Amen.
And why don't we wait on the Lord and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord?
Amen.
God working. And they'll say, you better rush over there. And I'll say, give them a little while to think about that. The Lord ain't going to go nowhere. And there's none. They're not either. They can't get away from him. You ever try? Sure you tried. No doubt many people will say, yeah, you tried before that I really trusted the Lord before I got saved. But really what happened was you couldn't go nowhere, could you? And you couldn't get away from him. So we see, and I believe that's only one aspect. And I'm not really going to go into this very deep, but this is only one aspect of the unfinished work of the Lord Jesus Christ concerning his people. And there is another unfinished work concerning the salvation of his people, and that's the saving of their lives.
Amen.
Your life ain't saved yet.
Amen.
Not a one of us. Brethren, my soul saved by the grace of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ took care of that there at Calvary. But he also is going to finish the salvation of my life. And that's going to be through the church the Lord's added me to.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ saves your soul. But the church of the Lord Jesus Christ saves your life.
Amen. Amen.
Now here's what a lot of people, they talk about Christ died, and he did. But he lived also before he died.
Amen.
Who'd he live for? The same ones he died for.
Amen.
That's who he lived for.
Amen.
So that not only could they come to know that their sins were gone, their sins were forgiven, but that he could save us from this evil, present evil world in which that we live, that we could be conformed to his image.
Amen.
To the glory of God. That's the means too. So the Lord, Jesus Christ, there's the unfinished work. He's not through with the salvation of his feet. But the Lord Jesus Christ, another thing that I want to get on into is he is not finished with the intercession for his people.
Amen.
Now Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 says this, and it always, you know, it always blesses my heart when I see my Savior, when he went there to Calvary, he died on the cross of Calvary. And what I recognize and what I know is that he became sin for me.
Amen. Yes,
he died there for me. He suffered my death. He suffered death, hell, and the grave there at Calvary. And he did that for me. And I believe that there's not enough moments and times in our lives that we go to Calvary.
Right. Amen.
And that we see the Lord Jesus Christ there in our stead, there suspended between heaven and earth. And when he, and you know, familiar when he said, Eli lama sabachthani. And here was the weight of the whole matter when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know why God forsook him there, don't you? And I know why God forsook him there. He forsook him there because he became sin. He took my sins. They were nailed to the cross. And I always rejoice when I can see the Lord sitting there. And I'm always, and all, it's not as often as I ought to that I go to Calvary. Just like all of us. But then I see him again. Now, brother, this afternoon, I think the priest, you know, what are you looking for? I mean, you know, what do you see? That's what I see. But that's not all I see. Hebrews 1:3. And we under, and if we're not careful, we minimize this aspect of the unfinished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1:3 said, when he had by himself purged our sins. Now notice, sit down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And brethren, I not only see him at Calvary, but I see him even as Stephen saw him. I see him there, and he's at the right hand of the Father. What's he doing there? Why is he there? Who's he there for? He's there for you, and he's there for me. What's he doing? Now at Calvary, he made the supreme sacrifice for the sins of his people. The penalty was paid for all the sins of his people. All of them. All of the Old Testament saints who had died before Calvary, their sins were paid for in full when Jesus died there at Calvary. I couldn't help but when Brother Guillen was preaching, and I thought he was going to come up. You know how you want to preach along with a fella? My wife has to pull my coat tail, punch me, kick me, and everything, keep me quiet. Because sometimes people don't know, you know what? They don't always think about me how I act when somebody else is preaching. The Lord blessing me, and I know I try to refrain myself as much as I can. You know, and I quote the scripture. They say scripture. I quote it before they get there. You know, not really. Well, anyway, get away from that. But anyway, and I couldn't help but think about what he said. And you know, and there was quizzing Abraham, and what? Here's what the Lord said. Said Abraham saw my day and he was glad. You know what Abraham saw every time that he offered one of those sacrifices? He saw Jesus Christ at Calvary dying there for his sins. But brethren, he saw him sitting also at the right hand of the Father making intercession for him. Abraham saw him there. They would not commit any more sins. In other words, all the Old Testament saints who had died before Calvary, their sins were paid for in full. They would not commit any more sins, for they are dead. Some of his people, both Old Testament and New Testament, were saved and living when he died for them at Calvary.
Amen. Amen.
He paid the penalty for their sins, both the sins committed before and after Calvary. Payment was made in full. Now some of his people, both Jews and Gentiles, were not born, that is physical birth, when he went to Calvary.
Amen.
And some would live 2,000 years or more after the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he paid their sin debt, the penalty for their sins, before and after salvation.
Amen.
He paid it all.
Amen.
Any person that he saves from Adam to the present time to the eternal ages, he paid the full payment for their sins.
Amen.
At Calvary.
Amen.
When he died there on the cross of Calvary. So he finished the work at Calvary some 2,000 years ago. Paul describes it here as purged our sins. But brethren, thank God he's not at Calvary.
Amen.
He went to Calvary, but he's not at Calvary.
Amen.
Sometimes it's glorious to know where he went and what he did, but people want to keep him there. Certain time of year, they want to keep him in a manger. Certain time of year, they want to get him out of the grave. Well, most of my brethren know what I believe about that anyway, so no need of me getting off my subject, brother. Yeah. Leave that to Hot Water Jones, okay. But now, he's not at Calvary. We see him at the right hand of God.
Amen, brother.
That's where he is. That is, at the right hand of the Majesty on high. What is he doing? What's he doing there? Who for? Yeah, that's right. Ask me, brother. That's right. Now, notice Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. And I want you to think with me. And that's on the surety of Calvary, but that's not what it says. Seeing he ever lived to make intercession for thee.
Amen.
We shouldn't minimize the birth of Christ. We shouldn't minimize the crucifixion of Christ. We shouldn't minimize the burial of Christ. We shouldn't minimize the resurrection of Christ. And we shouldn't minimize the intercessory work of the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross of Calvary. Because that's the reason that we are being saved even today. Because of that intercessory work. This work of our eternal salvation included his work. Now notice the law was fulfilled. Justice was satisfied. Sins born and removed, atoned for. A curse, death to undergo. But he said, mighty to save the othermost. That means perfection.
Amen.
He is the mediator. He's the middle person. He ever liveth to make intercession for them, that is his people. He lives as mediator and redeemer, and particularly as a priest.
Amen, brother.
He intercedes for his people now in heaven. He does this in person by the presentation of his sacrifice, his blood, and his righteousness.
Amen.
That was offered there at Calvary. Every time, if you're standing around me and we sing that song about his blood being spilt, you'll hear me holler, shed as loud as you can. I'll do it every time. These old unscriptural songs, and I'm not a nitpicker because I don't like people to be nitpickers toward me. But the Lord didn't spill his blood. He shed his blood. And when we sing that song, come across that. You know, my wife kicked me again, y'all reckon. I say shed as loud as I can when I come across that. I not only believe, brethren, we ought to preach scripturally. I not only believe we ought to practice things in our church scripturally. I believe we ought to sing scripturally. And our songs ought to exalt the grace of God. And it ought to exalt the great God of heaven. And brethren, we ought to recognize and be able to see the Lord Jesus Christ when we sing.
Amen.
That is blood. I don't like this Tommy Rott singing. Loopy-jumpy stuff goes on. It don't do anything for me. It makes me mad. That's what it does. Okay. So much for that. Yeah. I believe that we see here the great intercessory work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, I believe by declaring his will that such and such blessings be bestowed on such and such persons. That's what he's doing as an intercessory work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the one there declaring his will to the Father as to what kind of blessings that we're going to receive and are receiving right now. Do you know Christ is doing that for you? See, you don't hear much about this. By wrecking, mending the prayers of his people and removing the charges and the accusations of Satan that is brought against them.
Amen.
The
Because, brethren, Satan accuses the brethren. What are the things he intercedes for? He intercedes for the conversion of his that are in a natural state. That's what he's doing there. He also intercedes discoveries of pardon grace to fallen believers. That's what he's doing there for every fallen believer. The right hand of Father. See, as the old saying goes down, "Hump, you ain't out of the woods yet." And I don't mean how things do with you. Because it all depends. Salvation is the Lord. Don't ever mistake that. And I don't try to apply anything else. But all of our salvation is of the Lord. Every aspect of our salvation is of the Lord Jesus Christ. Too many people today manifest that they've just been saved and then, well, you don't see anything else. I believe he intercedes for renewed strength in the child of God to oppose sin. That's the reason you're able to oppose sin, is because of the great intercessor there. He is giving you renewed strength to oppose sin and also to exercise grace. You can't exercise grace of yourself. I believe he intercedes for to bear us up under temptations and deliverance out of thee. That's what he's doing there in his intercessory work. He also intercedes for us for to persevere in the faith and to persevere in holiness and to live godly and separated lives. Amen. We start this thing with the Lord. We ought to end it with the Lord. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. What kind of intercessor is he? He is one that always succeeds. He never fails. He does this work readily. He does it willingly. He does it cheerfully. And he does it freely. And every time he does it for us and on our behalf, he rejoices. Because he knows that is one of his children, and he went there to Calvary, and that he died for. But brethren, he not only went to Calvary and died for that child of God, but he ever liveth to make intercession for thee. This proves him, as his intercessory work proves him to be able to save. Think about it. Why is he able to save? You say, well, because he went to Calvary and died. Yes, but because he's an intercessor. And because he ever lives. We don't have a dead Savior. We have a living Savior, a Savior that is alive. And this proves him to be able to save. As intercessor, a great and a glorious work is manifested. I believe the importation of salvation is by his death. The application of it is owing to his interceding life. The Lord Jesus Christ, there at Calvary. His life is the security of his people, and he lives for them as their representative. That's our security. He is our advocate. 1 John 2:1, if any man sin, that is, children saved, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now, he is not the advocate for sin, but he's the advocate for sinners.
Amen.
Some people preach he's the advocate for sin. And they preach a license to sin. And Baptists are guilty of doing that. We're guilty of doing what we're accused of by our enemies. Many times. He does not deny that his children have sinned. He does not deny that. He is an advocate for the non-imputation of their sins. Their sins are not charged to their account, but their sins are charged to him. These sins have been laid on Him. He has made full satisfaction for them. He pleads the virtue of His blood, His righteousness, and His sacrifice on our behalf there in the presence of Almighty God, which are carried within the veil and always in sight. He answers and removes the charges brought by the devil. He is Jesus Christ, the righteous, the only begotten Son of God, the kinsman redeemer, for we are His sheep, and He is our shepherd.
Amen.
And He ever liveth to make intercession for us. But He's not finished with His people. Now, I usually get ahead of myself a little bit. Romans 12, 1 through 3. If there's anything today besides complacency and apathy in the Lord's churches, it's the kind of lives that church members are living. And this don't have to come from preachers. I think all of y'all as members of any church that's represented here ought to be able to recognize that. Preacher ought not have to say that. Romans 12, 1 through 3 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now notice, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Brethren, we are being transformed. And that is as much a part of the unfinished work of the Lord Jesus Christ as an intercessory work or anything else that we've spoken of here.
Amen. Amen.
If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away, behold, all things become new. The new creature grows into a full-grown person.
Amen.
We're being changed. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all with open face beholding as in glass the glory of the Lord are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord.
Amen.
He's not finished with His people.
That's right.
If you're His, you're not going to get by.
Amen. That's right.
Living a life that is dishonoring to Him, you're not going to get by with it. He has several ways to deal with you.
Amen.
One way, as an individual, He deals with you through the chastening hand, the chastening rod. Another way He has to deal with you is through a local New Testament Baptist church. And I thought about, as they read, and there's so many scriptures have been through this conference, I thought about when they was talking there in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, 2, and then it goes 3, he said, every man that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself, even as he is pure. We forget to read that.
Yeah.
We like, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And we like it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when this shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And we say, praise God! And we ought to.
Amen.
But He goes on and says, but every man that hath him hope, this hope in himself purifieth himself. Now I know, I'm not talking about works. We're talking about grace. We're talking about the salvation, the complete salvation of God's people.
Amen.
That He brings. From experience to experience, I appreciate the message that Brother Kelly preached. From glory to glory, from experience to experience, God brings in our life. In each experience of our Christian life, we experience the sufficient grace. The old man remains the same, even though subdued and brought into subjection. The old man will remain the same. He'll never be any different. Old man's never changed. He won't ever be any better. He'll never get any better until the
completion of our salvation, which when Jesus said, lift up your eyes, your redemption draweth nigh. He wasn't talking about your soul being saved.
That's right.
He was talking about this old body shall be changed.
Amen.
But the inward man, that is the new creation, delights in the Word of God and the experience of grace. Therefore, we are changed. Our change is twofold. The one we're experiencing now is described as sanctification. Jesus said of His people that He prays for in the Lord's Prayer. He said, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. Our second change will come at glorification. It's a twofold change. Paul wrote to the church at Philippi. Listen to what he said. In this passage of Scripture, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here it is. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself.
Amen.
That's the author and the finisher of our faith.
Amen.
There's no such thing as a person being saved and not being able to be subdued. You know better than that, and I know better than that, and God's Word teaches better than that. I believe Hebrews 4:3 says, although the works are finished from the foundation of the world, we know that in the plan and the mind of God, but these things are carried out here in time, and this is part of the unfinished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then, brethren, another thing, He is not finished with His church.
Amen. Amen.
Matthew 16:18 says, now I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He founded His church before Calvary during the first year of His ministry. We first noticed this church at Jerusalem, for they were gathered, where Jesus brought them together and had them to assemble there until you be endued with power from on high. From this church came churches of the same kind, and He is adding to these churches. Paul made this very clear. And he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he said there in verse 28, he said this, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, government, diversities of tongues. He said in verse 18, but God has set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him. Brethren, I believe that we see here that He is adding to these churches. He's still adding to His churches. And they're not going to ever go out of existence. It's just not going to come up one day when the Lord comes again and then everybody is in the church.
Amen.
That universal bride thing that's been taught for years and now is seeds have been sown and now they're being spread. Because the reason I know that, it says in Ephesians 3:21, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Brethren, He not only receives glory through His church, but it will be even in the eternal ages.
Amen.
They are now espoused or engaged. Sometimes we think, you know, we only commit spiritual fornication when we fool around with somebody not called Baptist. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11, 1-3, that we had been espoused. He espoused them with godly jealousy. But today, what I'm afraid of is that many people are on the verge of committing spiritual fornication because they're fooling around with those that call themselves Baptists that are fooling around with others that are not Baptists.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
And everybody's afraid to speak up. I mean, not everybody, but some are afraid to speak up. Brethren, I tell you what, I love the church the Lord's given me. It's not a perfect church, but it's the church the Lord's placed me in. I have paid people to pastor like everybody else, but I thank God for them. Thank God for all the heartaches and the sorrows and the joys and the pleasures. And they're the people that the Lord's given me. And I feel the responsibility of protecting them or watching over them and being a guardian of the truth. Not only guarding the pulpit of that church, but guarding the people of that church. I believe when Paul wrote, now he's not finished with his church. You know what people say today? The church is outdated. Church has lost its power. Said you can't do like you used to do a long time ago. And what they're talking about, they minimize the Lord's church. They minimize His grace. They minimize salvation because they've gone to a humanistic plan as far as salvation. And how they deny even the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary. They deny the power of it. And then they even deny the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that He bought and purchased with His own blood. Paul wrote in Ephesus, he said, you might sanctify. It's talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know how you'll read along and you read for years and you read for years and then you read Scripture and the Lord just... It's nothing new. Y'all know it. But I, you know how the Lord will give you something? And now I was preaching, I believe, I don't know where it was in California or where it was, and this just hit me. And you'll notice, he's talking about the Lord's church. He said that He might sanctify and cleanse it. The Lord Jesus Christ is not finished with His churches. And He's not only sanctifying them, but He's cleansing them. Now, I'm not going to go into how He does that. You know, y'all go into how He does that. We know that He goes on and says, and the basic way is, with the washing of the water by the Word. What do people want today? They want everything but the Word. Our brother preached that. They want everything but the Word of God. That's today the problem in many churches. And then a church can, and I'm not talking about my church. My church is not this way, and I thank God for it. But there's many churches today that have a good God-called man that believes the Word of God and believes the truth of God's Word, and they won't leave him alone. They pester him to death. They want something else besides the Word of God. God never designed. The Lord Jesus Christ is not through with His church, and the means that He designed to sanctify and to cleanse His churches is the Word of God. The washing of water by the Word. Well, people sometimes say, won't you have a big singing? Most singings, I wouldn't give you a nickel for all of them. Y'all know who's doing it and how they're living and where they go and what they're doing. I'm not talking about being the FBI or CIA, you know, necessarily, but I'm talking about people that live godly lives. Amen. Nothing gets me any more than somebody gets up and sings and so becomes so religious during their song. It reminds me of like Porter Wagner show or something. I don't watch it. Don't get me wrong, I don't watch it. You know, they just got to have a little hymn before they get through. Well, let me get off of that. I didn't want to get sidetracked. Garner Smith, you got me sidetracked on that. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, Revelation chapter 19, and there in verse 7 through verse 9, you'll notice it says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. His wife has made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. The bridegroom and the bride will be married. The wedding will be an occasion of rejoicing, for all these here have been saved, but there's many that will be called only there as guests. But after the wedding, the bride will dwell in the new Jerusalem, as we heard, according to Ephesians 3:21. But she'll be the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ through the eternal ages.
Amen.
And you know why? Because He purchased her with His own blood.
Amen.
And He not only purchased her with His own blood, but He sanctified and cleansed her with the washing of the water by the Word. It's just like this. There'll be a lot of people, no doubt, that'll be saved that are not in the Lord's church. And they'll have glimpses of the truth. But they won't have all the truth. Now they'll have glimpses of it. But only those that are in the Lord Jesus Christ's church that has been saved by the grace of God and has been set in there by the Lord Jesus Christ, and those that He has washed and cleansed with the washing of the water of the Word, will be in the bride of Christ. And so, they'll be the ones. Now, you know, others are, and probably we'll hear about this sometime or other, but others are ever learning but never come to the truth. Of course, some of them are reprobates, but even some of the saved know some glimpses of truth. But only those that have been saved by the Lord and added to one of the Lord's true churches, which is the pillar and the ground of the truth.
Amen.
A lot of people, you know what they try to do when they go out? They'll have some friends and they go out trying to teach them church truth. You don't need to do that. You need to go out and teach them salvation truth. That's where you need to begin, with salvation by God, by the grace of God. She will be the joy of Christ throughout the eternal ages. And so there's many other things, but I'm going to close this out. He is not finished with the nations. You can read that in Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 through 46. He is not finished with the Gentiles. He is not finished with the Jews.
Amen.
Brethren, I thank God He finished His work at Calvary, but He's not finished with me.
Amen.
Is He finished with you? Certainly not. And I believe, as Paul said, and of course he starts it in Romans chapter 8, he starts it with with foreknowledge and ends it with glorification.
Amen.
And then it's sort of like Paul when he said to Timothy, he said, "For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day." So yes, Jesus at Calvary finished the price of our redemption and paid the penalty of our sins. Even the purchasing of our souls and even of that which would suffice even for our lives. But brethren, He's still, old song goes, He's still working on me. And I don't want to, you know, sometimes we put it in humanistic terms and if we're not careful, we'll dishonor God. I would say that He's got a long ways to go, by no means, because He can do that.
Amen.
Quickly.
Amen.
It can be even. It could be even now.
That's right.
He could finish His work this very moment.
That's right. Amen.
He could finish it.
Amen.
Lift up your eyes.
Amen.
Your redemption draweth nigh. He is the author and the finisher of our faith.
Amen.